talking to Bruising Boxing. Another week coming at you. With us, noticeably absent, is Matt from Lindstrom, Matty Bush, whatever we're calling him. I can never figure that out. But it is his birthday, or he's doing some dogs or watching dogs or something. I don't know what he's doing exactly. But he's not here. But the other two are always here. One, the only, Filthy Rich. Filthy Rich, how are you?
You know, LeBron James hit his 18th All-Star game, ties the all-time record, and logged in 509 minutes. That's an all-time record for All-Star appearance minutes. I lost a bet last week. I'm going to get started right now.
Yeah, no one cares about LeBron. All right, and also with us here, oh, wait, oh, my God.
Is that a Tecate 40?
I lost last week, man. Here it is.
They even make those? Oh, my God.
All right. Bro, it was like a dollar.
You wow. Overpaid, buddy. Wow. All right, with us as always is the winner, Judge Jimmy James. Judge, how are you?
I'm doing good. Want to say happy birthday, happy 40th birthday to Matty Bush. I've got a fake Bush light here just for you, bud, just in case. Yes, this is about as genuine you're gonna get for that. So looking forward to it. Happy birthday.
Well, right on, right on. And James, for me, if you could hit the sad piano music right now. I am suffering, for all our listeners out there, I'm suffering from post-holiday depression, obviously, from last week. Very, very sad holiday depression. My Super Nintendo that I opened up broke instantly as soon as I plugged in the TV, obviously. Amir Khan, yeah. So I'm drowning my holiday sorrows in not a 40th Tecate, but, yeah, just the... Yeah. Oof. Yeah. And Misery Loves Company, so I'll invite you guys to join me for a toast to to depression. Hey.
Cheers. Cheers, boys.
All right, let's get on with the show. All right, Bruce, the news time. Before we get into the news though, Judge Jimmy James, you want to point out what's written on that Bush Light bottle there?
Oh, yeah. It's just it's got gourmet on the top of it.
Oh, it's the gourmet Bush
Light. It's gourmet Bush Light.
Oh,
only the best gourmet for Matty Bush.
Yeah, I suppose. Oof. The gourmet. I would have been happy with some Taster's Choice stuff, but you bring that gourmet stuff. That's right. All right. News time to head into. And it wouldn't be news if we're not talking about Canelo for the third week in a row. I believe this news story just won't end. Canelo rejects $100 million to face Charlo and Benavidez in a two-fight deal. The word was he was going to fight the Bivol versus Golovkin deal, but Golovkin apparently is the one holding up the signing, is the rumor anyway. And then Canelo says, I am still negotiating. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Gentlemen, are you surprised that he rejected this Charlo Benavidez deal? He's getting a lot of heat from the internet on this, saying he's dodging people, but I don't believe it. What do you guys think? Judge, we'll start with you.
You know, I don't think he's dodging anybody. He just gets to pick. He gets to pick what he wants. It's just that simple. If he thinks there's more money, regardless of what the deal is on paper, is he going to make more money, you know, through the other avenues, you know, going through DAZN and Triple G and Bivol, or you know, or maybe it's the easier path too, right? Like it could be to the point where he doesn't really need to prove himself, and you can make that argument because Charlo Benavidez is definitely the tougher road to travel, in my opinion. But is it worth $15 million? Yeah, I mean, he's coming out with the taco line or something like that in the States. I don't think he's really getting in. I mean, he's got money. I don't think money really matters. At this point, it's probably all about belts, legacy, and that status. So I think there's really no reason for him to put anything in jeopardy if that's what he wants. But it's interesting now that they got money figures out there. But I don't know. Hopefully someone will just sign it and then move on.
I'm sure he wants to be the first one to knock Golovkin down too. That'd probably be a nice little feather in his hat that he'd say at this point. I saw on the internet someone says, who rejects a $100 million deal? And someone responded, someone's already made $300 million. That's who rejects a $100 million deal. Filthy Rich, what do you think about this Canelo rejecting the Charlo Benavidez? Is he taking the safe route like Jim says, or do you have a different view on it?
I mean, there's definitely an element of being safe. again, this deal is not signed because Golovkin is holding up the deal a little bit. We don't know what is going on there, if Golovkin wants a catch weight or if Golovkin has to move up to 168. So I don't think he's necessarily rejected the offer. It's I know Jim said 15, but I think it's like, I thought it was $20 million difference. I think the DAZN deal is $80 million and the PBC deal is $100 million. So let's go to which is the easier path. The if you ask me, I think the DAZN path is the easier path, and the one that stops, the one that trumps it all, is Benavidez. I mean, Floyd was always known for beating up guys before they hit their prime. Someone like Canelo, I mean, every time Canelo gets a win, it makes Floyd look that much better. So Benavidez is. Now I think he is in his prime, so it's too late to beat a pre-prime Benavidez, so it does nothing. Again, the deal's not done yet. In all likelihood, he will take the DAZN deal, but I don't think he's ducking anyone. I think those PBC guys will be there because they are relatively young. So when that deal expires, I expect to see Canelo in the ring with Charlo and then with Benavidez.
So you're expecting that one to be a next year deal? With
I think so.
That'd be an interesting four fights to go with. If he loses to Bivol or Golovkin, what does that do to his career, though? Does that change a lot of this money going forward if you take the easier route and lose one of them fights? James, I'll start with you.
I don't think so. Canelo is still one of the biggest, if not the biggest name across boxing fans, period, whether you're a casual or you're hardcore like us, right? He's still going to be a draw. The only thing that's not on there is they can't put on the title for the belts, or champion versus champion. You can't do Sunday, that sort of crap. But I don't think that really draws anything out for it, because at that point they're going to probably see, well, can he bounce back? Is he going to bounce back? Was he done? Like, it's always going to be something at this stage because he's already done so much. So I don't think that would affect it.
And plus, they can always just make up a belt anyway if they want it. Filthy Rich, what do you think? What do you think? Is that would that hurt him more if he lost one of the easy route fights?
Yeah, it depends on how you lose. I mean, if you get knocked out, yeah, I think it does hurt him a little bit, because how do you make that up? If you lose to Bivol right away, what's next? You take a Golovkin fight that I'm not saying no one wants to see, but I think people would want to see a Bivol rematch right away. So if Dmitry Bivol beats him by knockout, if he beats Canelo by knockout, I think it hurts a little bit, but at the same time, he's moving up to 175 to fight him. So he has the excuse. I don't want to say he has excuses, but he has an excuse. He has a reason why he lost. But at the end of the day, I don't think it affects him that much. He has a cult following behind him. He still has like 5 to 10 years left.
Well, speaking of excuses, we're going to move on to our next bit of news here, because this is kind of a fun one. Our guy Triple G and your guy Andre Ward, actually, probably both those guys are your guys, have been trading words on Twitter all day today, and it's been awesome to read. I'm going to let you break down the Twitter war first here, Filthy Rich, on what Golovkin and Andre Ward have been shooting at each other all day.
Well, first of all, whose guy is Andre Ward? Me or James?
I thought that was your guy. And Andre Ward, one of your guys? Nope.
I like everyone. I don't know why I get labeled as like, oh, that's your guy. No, they're all my guys, every one of them. I don't know. Something happened today, and somebody asked Andre Ward, happy birthday, Andre Ward, from Golovkin. Wink, wink. Someone asked Andre Ward, who are three guys you would have liked to fight before your career ended? Said he wanted a rematch with Carl Froch, a fight with Golovkin, and Anthony Joshua. Now, when he said the fight with Golovkin, he kind of briefly mentioned that Golovkin turned the deal down within 5 minutes. And that set Twitter on fire. These guys have been kind of going at it. Golovkin with only two responses, but Golovkin's promoter, Tom Loeffler, is firing back at all cylinders. This is pretty exciting. It's now coming to an end, it looks like, but... Yeah, it was just Andre Ward is just you know, responding to a fan who wished him a happy birthday.
I love when in Golovkin's response, it just kind of tears into him for a whole paragraph and ends it with happy birthday. That was one of my favorite responses. James, you've been catching up a little bit on the Twitter where we've been sending you pictures and stuff. What's your take on all this?
Well, you know, he's telling him to stop lying, that was sent over when he had already signed his fight with Lemieux back in 2015. And then 6 months later, he was awarded, moved up to 175 from 168, right? And Golovkin wanted to catch a fight or do a catch weight. There's also another video out there where Golovkin's poor English, or is unfortunately, it looks like it's haunting him, but you can take that however you want. I don't think Triple G was ducking Ward. I don't know if Ward was ducking Triple G. This definitely makes for interesting comments and commentary, right? An interesting story. But him moving up right away to 175 and then it never materializing after that, I just don't think their paths were ever on a collision course to begin with. So I think this is just smoke, speculation, stuff that should never happen. So
it was out of left field, but Golovkin's response to that video was great. Was, my English is getting better, your memory is getting worse. That is just just a great line by Golovkin. Because Golovkin had problems with English when early in his career. That's what made him so much fun to watch in the post fight interviews and stuff too. Talking about this big drama show and everyone deserves chance. That's why I let him punch me and stuff like that.
Look,
that's Max, what made us fall in love with him. Yeah, this is boxing, big drama show. I like.
So look, let me jump in before we
go ahead. Jump in. Right?
So there's an article surfacing right now from an interview Golovkin did in 2012 about willing to fight anyone between 154 and 168. So there, I don't think there is any duck in Triple G, but in those at that time, you know, I still think Andre Ward beats him. Part of the problem was, Rock Nation was involved with boxing. Rock Nation Sports, who has like Kevin Durant and Dominican Sue and a bunch of superstars, Robinson Cano, a bunch of guys at that time were in the boxing business. They controlled Andre's career, and Andre wasn't getting good fights. Miguel Cotto was with them. I think Rigondia was with them. These guys were not getting good fights. Miguel Cotto eventually left because he wasn't getting good fights. They guaranteed people a lot of money, but they weren't guaranteeing the fights. Basically, Andre Ward and or Rock Nation was pricing him out of big fights like with Golovkin. Now to this day, I don't know if I mentioned this, but Rock Nation's not in the boxing business anymore. And it just so coincidentally happened that Andre Ward retired after the two Kovalev fights, right when Rock Nation got out of boxing. So Golovkin claims he would have went down to fight Mayweather. I believe it was like 150 was the catch weight, even though he said he'd go down to 154. He'd also fight like Andre Ward at 168, I guess. I mean, there's a lot of vagueness going around. I think the story is done. I think after Andre Ward's birthday, it's over. But we might see this again next year, or maybe on Golovkin's birthday, Andre Ward wishes him a happy one.
Well, maybe. I mean, I seem to remember Golovkin having a hard time getting fights back then too. Everyone was dodging Golovkin when he was the top of the world back then. I was going to ask you that, but you already brought it up a little bit. But if, say, they met at a catchweight, say at 164 back in the day when they're talking about this, maybe after or instead of the fight that Golovkin took. Well, I can't remember which fight. Was it the Lemieux fight? Lemieux fight?
Yes.
If he had taken Andre Ward 164, what are you guys' predictions for that?
I think Andre Ward wins. Andre Ward's just a better boxer.
He wins on points? Or you think he...
I don't
the
think
iron chain of Golovkin.
I don't think he knocks out Golovkin, but I think Andre Ward beats him on points.
What do you think, James?
Yeah, this is 2015. Say it's even 2016. Man, yeah, definitely not no knockout.
If there was a knockout, I think it'd be Golovkin or Ward. If there was
If I go with my gut, I would probably agree with Rich. I'd probably say the same thing, but it would be a points decision for Ward. Could even be a split decision at that point, but it would definitely be a decision for Ward. Yeah, I can't. I think it would be really difficult at that stage in each person's career for a different outcome.
Well, Andre Ward ever fight a guy like Golovkin, Rich, where he was just always in him, like fighting in a phone booth like Golovkin did?
Well, I mean, you wonder about the Kovalev fights. I thought Kovalev won the first one. I thought he low-blowed Kovalev on the second one. I thought Kovalev won both those two fights. Maybe not winning the second one because it was stopped on a TKO where I clearly saw low blows there, and people on Twitter are bringing that up too. So, Andre Ward, he won the Super 6 at Super Middleweight, became the number one pound-for-pound guy. There's a reason for that. He cleaned out, like, the Chad Dawsons, who I believe actually dropped weight. I mean, there's 100 excuses on why Andre Ward won, but nonetheless, he ended up winning the Super 6, and he was, you know, him and Chocolatito were number one pound-for-pound. It was close, but Andre's had some battles. I think Golovkin has power. Andre has the skills.
All right. Well, we'll just have to think and wish. Maybe we'll have a fantasy fight card where we can go anyone of all time again, you know, instead of just current boxers, just like anytime, anyone of all time.
I'll drink Tecate to that.
That'd be a fun one to go. But happy birthday, Andre Ward, regardless. Still a friend of the show. I did like that you responded to one of our tweets, which was awesome. So thank you for that. All right, moving on. Brian Castellano injured his bicep in the Jermell Charlo rematch is now postponed. How sad are you guys? Filthy Red, start with you.
Look, it's just postponed. It looks like it's going to be a 4-week delay, maybe 6 weeks if we're pushing it. But good. I'm glad it's postponed. I'm glad Charlo didn't take like a secondary opponent, like a third fight with Tony Harrison or something, or whoever else. I know we were talking about the hammer, I think, last week. I'm glad he's not going that route. Wait for Castaño to heal up. I believe this undercard looks real good. So the undercard will sell itself. Get something else going for Charlo Castaño rematch in April, I believe.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Jermell Charlo has been basically accusing Castaño of faking this injury, too. James, what do you think of Charlo coming out and saying that he's faking this injury?
Man, you have no idea. Like, that's what he's saying. I did hear that, and he's saying, show me the reports, whatever he keeps saying, something goofy, man. Like, and that's fair enough, right? You want proof to make sure somebody isn't. That's your prerogative to say that. I don't think Castaño is an individual that would be ducking by any means on purpose. I think he got injured, and instead of proceeding with the fight as scheduled, he's being smart about it and allowing himself to heal. So he gives him the best chance to win. Like I said, I personally thought he won the last fight. And if he doesn't think that he's going to be 100%, like, I'm not going to knock a guy for that at all. Just like the Triple G and Lopez should have been 100%. The other one now that I can't even think about.
Pacquiao versus Mayweather. I wish Pacquiao would have delayed it. 25 Mayweather.
Oh, there was been another one, you know. Lomachenko, Gary Russell said that Gary Russell got hurt. Like, come
Lomachenko,
on, man.
Yeah, Lomachenko versus Tiafoe. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's. I think it's real, and I'm glad that it's doing it. That it's only postponed. That it's not canceled. That it's going to happen again. I just hope it happens sooner than later. Obviously, because I really want to see that rematch.
Yeah, I don't know why Charlo would accuse him of faking it if it's only going to back it up 6 weeks. I don't understand that. But
look, if you want to, like, let's pretend we're going to call people out for faking injuries, you better put something else behind that. I remember Abner Mares was accused of faking an injury against Tank Davis. His career is over right now. Here's what he should have done. Jermell Charlo should have said, "Are you sure you're not going to fail a drug test?" Throw that out there. No one's faking an injury, but if you want to fake the injury because you think you're going to fail a drug test, throw that out there. But Jermell needs to be like the good guy. He needs to start, not to say he's a bad guy, but like, only heels do stuff like this, man. The guy is not ducking you. Now, if you want to accuse him maybe failing a drug test, different ball game there, but stuff like that would come out under VADA testing or whatever they're going to do. But yeah, I don't think anyone's ducking. I don't think anyone's faking. I think people need to just, like, keep their focus on the prize.
See, I thought Castellano won that first fight too. James, you said you thought he won the fight. What did you think, Rich? You think Charlo won that one or not?
Did I say prize? Like prize fighter? Like Amir Khan? I thought Jermell Charlo won that fight. I thought it was close. I could see it going either way. And everyone should be able to say it's okay to see it going either way. There was not, I don't think.
I was okay with a draw.
Exactly. I think Castaño could have won that fight. I thought Jermell won that fight.
See, that's how close it was. It should have been a draw. 2-1 here. 2-1 here. But it was close. I'm really looking forward to seeing this fight again too. So, hey, in 6 weeks, it might be easier to watch it outside too. So, just got that up. Oh, you got something to say, James?
Or no, I was saying agreeing with that.
Okay, agreeing with you. All right. Last bit of news we want to get to here. Spence versus Ugas pay-per-view undercard is really coming together. Isaac Cruz versus Gamboa. Some other good fights coming up on this undercard. You guys had a chance to review the undercard a little bit here. What most excites you about this undercard coming up? And the Spence Ugas fight is going to be really fun to watch. What do you think, Filthy Rich?
You know, I don't know. This card top to bottom is really good. I can't say that there's like one thing that really stands out that I'm excited for, but I will say I kind of look forward to seeing Isaac Cruz again. But I want to see what the price point. Nowhere in this article does it mention how much this pay-per-view is. If there's any time to put a $100 pay-per-view, this would be the card. And I don't think it's going to hit 100. I think it'll be like $79.99 or something.
Who cares? You're spending the judge's money anyway. It's not like we're paying for this. You know,
drink to that.
Yeah, we have to drink Tecate. He's gonna be loving it up, paying for that. What on this undercard that you're going to be paying for us, James, really sticks out for you?
Man, I'm not filthy rich. You're filthy rich. I always suck with the bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Isaac Cruz, seeing him again, unfortunately, against Gamboa, not that great of a matchup. Gamboa's on the outs. Obviously, you know, he can get dropped, probably get dropped like 19 times. He'll probably get up, which is pretty crazy. But
yeah, it's like one of them Babu the Clowns. You just keep.
Yeah, I mean, but Gamboa is still going to give him a challenge. He's not someone that's just going to fold over. So it will be, I agree with Rich, it's going to be good to see him, to Cruz, see what he does in a comeback fight, because he should handle Gamboa pretty easily. And then the Butiev versus Stanionis, I think, is actually a pretty good fight too, because Butiev was actually the guy who just beat our hometown boy, Jamal James, by TKO. So, and obviously, you know, Stanionis is up and comer. What is that? 147, right? It's a welterweight fight, right?
Yeah.
So this is, yep. Stanionis is definitely a younger welterweight coming up. I don't think Butiev is going to be, you know, like the next big thing by any means, but I think it should be a good fight against two, I believe they're undefeated welterweights. So
yep, they both are. Yep.
So I think, I mean, it's right there enough, obviously. And with Ugas Spence, this is going to be a pay-per-view that will definitely be given some money for, that's for sure.
Yeah, Gamboa is 40 years old too, though. So I think Isaac Cruz is going to probably make some quick work room. He is going to go down a lot. It's just whether they're going to throw in the towel or not. But it should be a fun one. And plus, Spence versus Ugas is going to be an amazing fight too. Can't wait to be. We're going to have to do a pregame show for that one. This is going to be. There's so many good fights coming up this year, guys. It's going to be really fun to watch a lot of these and talk about a lot of these coming up. So make sure you tune in and make sure you hit that subscribe and that bell button up here so you can get our views each week. And thank you to all our fans that just subscribed in England as well, coming off our show last week talking about the biggest fight in England. So thank you for all the new subscribers we got there as well. All right, that's it for news this week. Let's go ahead and move on with the show. All right, sad segment to report on here. Brews and Reviews talking about it's just like that week after Christmas when you got to return all them sweaters to the store because we got to talk about it. But we're not going to talk about it first. We're going to talk about a different fight first. We're going to talk about Jaime Munguia versus Demetrius Ballard, a fight where me and James were talking before the fight happened. We got a good little nap in before that fight happened. But when that fight came on, James said this was going to go the distance, and it definitely did not go the distance. So, James, why don't you break out on that fight here a little bit while I suck on my terrible
I'll make sure to go real slow. So this fight was really, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just saying I'm making you do that. Yeah. I mean, this was a fight that I thought was going to be much, I thought it was going to be better than it was. I thought Balor was going to come out and give Munguia some trouble, being what I thought he'd come out a little more technical, because we know Munguia is just kind of a straightforward power puncher. I know he did a lot better job in his last two fights, skill wise, than he had previously. But, you know, you can't always be right. Can't always make the right predictions. And I was wrong on this one. Munguia came out, did some feeler rounds and got Balor up against the ropes at one point and kind of took it down. I think it was a little bit of an early stoppage, because I don't think I agreed with the stoppage, but
no,
either way, it still happened. I didn't think Balor was going to really do anything, which was unfortunate, but I mean, Munguia is a real deal at this point. And one more check on his resume. He is, what, 38 or 39 and 0 right now. So he may just be putting up people to get to that Mayweather mark of 50 and 0. Because I know that's sort of a race with like five people. But, you know, hopefully Munguia either fights a top dog at 160. And I'm going to shut up because that's not part of my speech here. Yeah, I think.
Well, yeah, but something that is part of your speech. So. When we were watching it, we agreed that Balor was definitely in trouble. But the stoppage was bad. There wasn't even a punch that the referee stopped it up. It was really awkward time to stop the fight. He was in trouble earlier that round, but he was not in trouble when the fight stopped. Yeah. So that's made me thought that the corner yelled something or something. I thought it was a very bad stop.
Yeah. I didn't see no towel, but no. Who knows, man. But yeah, that's what it was. TKO for Munguia.
For those of us that had the over, it was really bad. But Rich, what do you think was next coming up for Ballard and Munguia? Is Ballard recover from this? And where's Munguia go? Has he got maybe Triple G in his future?
Yes. So let's start with Ballard. I don't know where to go with this guy, but to keep his name relevant, I would say someone like Murata. Murata's fighting Triple G here pretty soon. Win or lose, I think Ryota Murata and Demetrius Ballard would make a good fight. I mean, especially if Murata wins, makes him look that much better. But that at least keeps his name relevant with a relevant opponent. Another name I'd probably throw out there is another tough one, like Liam Williams and Danny Jacobs. Jacobs just kind of lost that. I think some people may have had Jacobs winning, but maybe take Liam Williams, because I think Danny Jacobs beats Ballard. I mean, this is very touchy right here. So those are a few names I got for you. I would say if there's maybe one more, I got nothing else. We'll just leave it at those.
Let's go to Munguia.
Yeah, let's just... For Munguia, I think Triple G is probably too much. I think, again, Murata is probably the guy. I think Danny Jacobs probably won the Liam Williams fight. I mean, I'm calling all these guys out because they're all in the same timeline, which basically means they're all going to be fighting in the next few months. May as well duke it out with each other. So I think Danny Jacobs and Jaime Munguia is probably the next step for Munguia.
Right on. All right, let's move on to I don't want to talk about it, but we got to talk about it. Sad, but true. Amir Khan, Kell Brook. I blame Jimmy James on this fight because he never danced the Amir Khan dance tune. If he would have danced, it would have given Amir Khan that added power he needed to, I don't know, dance around and not take punishment like he did. Kell Brook looked amazing for this fight. He looked a lot more committed to this fight than Amir Khan did, but I'll let Rich break it down for you. Rich, break down this sad funeral of a fight.
You kind of already broke it down for me.
Sorry, buddy.
great job. I mean, the one thing you said is he didn't have the power. He didn't have the power. This looked like an Amir Khan who came to box versus a Kell Brook who came to fight. And for some reason, the fighter ended up beating the boxer, which in most cases, the boxer just has the skills and he beats the fighter. This was a situation where Amir Khan, I don't know if he controlled the ring. He was basically in every corner. I think Kell Brook did a good job of cutting off the ring, but Kell Brook was not letting Amir Khan get away from them. Kell Brook was looking for a fight. Amir Khan was looking for a prize fight. He was looking for a payday, and I think he got his payday. I had Kell Brook winning most of this fight as it was. I think got stopped in the sixth. I had Kell Brook winning four, Amir Khan winning probably the second round, maybe even the first, but Amir Khan did not show up. This is a lesson to the Errol Spences, maybe even Terrence Crawford. Somebody's ducking the other. And when the fight is expired, someone's not going to show up. They're going to show up for a paycheck. And that is what we witnessed in this fight. This was a complete dud. It kind of lived up to some sort of hype, but what this fight could have been 5 years ago is nothing what it was. We just witnessed. It was, good for Kell Brook. If I would have seen this Kell Brook against like a Terrence Crawford, that would have been a better fight. This Kell Brook looks like he's going to be in the top 10 again.
Well, this was supposed to be a grudge match, and Kell Brook showed up like it was a grudge match, and Amir Khan showed up like he was just going to win the fight just by showing up. He didn't have a grudge match style. There was no hate in Amir Khan's eyes towards Kell Brook like there was for Kell Brook towards the other way. When that fight started, it looked bad. Kell Brook looked like Mr. T when he beat Rocky the first time. That's what he looked like. He looked like Clubber Lang the first time. Judge, what's next for these two guys? I'm pretty sure I can tell you where one of them's going, but what do you think?
Oh, sad day for you guys.
Yeah, it is.
All of us.
I think Amir Khan, this was his last fight. I do not see him getting in the ring to fight anyone else again. He went out on his shield. Cheers to you, mate. But I just don't think there's anything left for you inside of the ring. We'll see what happens outside of the ring. Maybe he comes back as a promoter or helps somebody else, maybe a trainer, something like that. I don't know, man. Who knows?
Britain's Next Top Model.
Yeah, there you go.
Perhaps.
Yeah, maybe the Masked Singer. Maybe could be on that.
Celebrity Big Brother is always looking for somebody, right? But on the flip side, for Kell Brook, I think he's still got a little fire on him. I do not see him fighting anyone at 147. I know he made weight at 149, but I don't think he's going to be able to get and drop those extra couple pounds. I believe that he's going to have to stay in the UK to get any sort of traction, any sort of fight. There isn't any reason for him to fight anybody outside of that at this stage of his career. I think that some names that have been tossed out are Conor Benn, but that's at 147, so he'd have to have some sort of a catch weight. I don't know if Ben would be down for that, but he does want big names on his resume. This would be a big name for Ben. So possibly. The other one that keeps getting thrown out is Chris Eubank Jr. But again, that's at 160, I believe he's at. Or maybe he might even be higher than that. I don't remember. Either way, another catch weight at some point. I don't really see anyone outside of the UK. So maybe somebody has some of those out there, but those are the two names getting thrown out. He's going to have to stay in the UK. I'd probably agree with that. It's just a matter of what weight is he going to fight at? And that's about that.
Yeah. I mean, Kell Brook, you got to give him his props too. He's only had three losses in his career, and they've been to Golovkin, Spence, and Crawford. I mean, those aren't bad names to lose to. And if I would have put more thought into it, I probably would have had him beating Amir Khan too, sadly. But since Amir Khan's probably going to be retired here, I think we need to retire the Amir Khan song and pass it on to a new generation. So from here on out, every time we talk about the one and only Ryan Garcia, he gets the old Amir Khan song from now on. So Ryan Garcia, congratulations. You are now the sexiest man in boxing. Hit the music.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Maybe James will dance to Ryan Garcia.
I wouldn't bet on that.
Hey, James, by the way, you had a chance to talk to me a little bit the day of that fight. We had a fan question coming in from Lou Jenkins II. He's in the United Kingdom on the Isle of Wight. He had a question for you. You guys were talking a little bit about the fight coming up because that fight was huge over there in the United Kingdom. He actually had predicted that Brooke would win in five, and Brooke won in six, so pretty close. And he did have a question for the experts here. So I'm going to throw the question to you guys here. I'm going to throw it to James first, since you were the one talking to him for the most part. He said, Prince Nassim is one of the best fighters that he's ever seen. Do you think he would have beaten Julian Jackson or Azuma Nelson? He says if he got the weight classes wrong, he apologized, but they could fight in a catchweight fight. Do you think he could have beat either of those guys? We're going to split it up with you two. What do you guys think? James, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so it's an interesting question. That's for sure. I'm going to touch base on Nas against Azuma Nelson. Those guys were actually in the same weight class at one point, at 130. So it's interesting because Nas had a very unique style of fighting, very unorthodox, very showboatish. but to his credit, was very effective. I mean, he was 36-1 and had 31 knockouts. Also being a southpaw who could switch his stances a little bit from time to time. But him against Azuma Nelson, right? The professor. Nelson was what, 39-6, 28 knockouts. I would probably go, it would be a fight. So Azuma Nelson fought Sweet Pea Whitaker. So Sweet Pea was also a southpaw, also a very defensive fighter. Not a lot of knockouts like Nas had, but I would assume that the fight would be very similar to that. So if I go with that, I'm definitely not saying that Nas is like a defensive mastermind like Sweet Pea Whitaker, but the fight would probably go like that. Azuma Nelson lost a unanimous decision to Pernell Whitaker way back in the 90s. I think it would probably be something like that, where it would be Azuma wouldn't be able to hit Nas if they were both in their prime. He would definitely give a good shot, but Nas was slippery at that point until he was figured out. And if you could catch him when he was trying to, you know, do all his stuff, then he, you know, he was in trouble at that point. But I think I would still give the nod to Nas against Azuma Nelson at 130.
Well, you brought up a good point until he got figured out. So when that fight happened would be a big deal too, if it was post Prince's loss or not, too, after he got figured out. It all depends on when that fight happened.
I'd say in their prime. So I'm going, if I'm going with the prime, so I'm going with Nas. Nas by decision in the prime.
All right, well, let's go to Filthy Rich, our local historian here, about Julian Jackson versus Nas. What do you think would win that fight?
Yeah, like when Prince Nas was introduced to us in the States, it was like too late. He was already figured out by then. Obviously, he has a war with Kenny Kelly that is one of the greatest fights of all time. Look it up, kids. In the 90s, Ken Kelly versus Prince Nas. It's one of them storybook fights. Guys are going down, blah, blah, blah. Look it up. Julian Jackson was just a bigger dude and had power. Julian Jackson had so many knockouts that you could give every round to Prince Nas at a catch weight. And at some point, Julian Jackson's going to knock Prince Nas out. You want to keep it like maybe an 8-round fight. I think Prince Nas can win a lot of rounds. He probably goes 7, maybe 8, but I'm sure Julian Jackson catches him in the 8th round. These guys were several weight classes apart from each other. So if they did meet at maybe 147, the result I would have would be Julian Jackson beating Prince Nas. But Prince Nas, like, I think he had like a snake style or something where he just kind of, I think James used the word slithered, and they used to stick his tongue out, and he was a hard dude to hit. He was just quick. I don't know how to describe this guy, but I was a Prince Nas fan. He was exciting to watch. He made boxing exciting.
Oh yeah. Especially back.
I agree. I just didn't know where they would fight at a catchweight. Julian Jackson was mainly at what, 156 and 160 was most of his career. And Nas was what, 130 most of his career? I mean,
middleweight.
That'd be a tough catchweight to make for either of those guys too, you know? So I mean, not now. If you see Nas now, he can make. He wouldn't have trouble getting down to that.
Super heavyweight.
He'd have trouble getting down to 156 now. But I'm just. It's true, but it's funny. But that's what we think there, Lou. Thank you very much for sending us a message. You guys can send us a message on our. Yeah, we'll drink to you right now. Great fight. Thanks for the message. You guys can send us a. Oh, sorry, Lou. I had to drink the cocktail. That's gross. You can send us a message on our Facebook or on our Twitter. Or on our Instagram, and we will sometimes answer questions on the show. So thank you. And Judge, I know you had a good conversation with him for a little bit there. So it was nice to get some fan interactions. And we actually got a lot of subscribers from England last week because of our Amir Khan Kell Brook show. So thank you very much for subscribing. Tell your friends. And I hope that answers your question. All right, gentlemen, let's go ahead and move on with this show. All right, brews and previews time as I continue to drink this awful, awful beer. For
me too. Oh, no. I'll drink that.
Oh, it's so.
Thanks, Kell Brook.
Yeah,
you couldn't beat Crawford for me, could you? Anyway, brews and previews, big fight this coming up weekend. Josh Taylor versus Jack Catterall. What do you guys got? Let's break it on down here. Who's going to break down what? Filthy Rich, who are you going to break down?
So I'll take Jack Catterall here.
Okay.
Look, he's 26-0 with 13 knockouts. He's a southpaw. Doesn't have any names on his resume. Hasn't had one big fight. Kind of weird that his biggest fight is like, quote unquote, the big dog in the division. So I don't know what else to really add other than, like,
you what's know, his keys to victory?
He's a southpaw. This is going to be a boring fight because we know his opponent's a southpaw. But I like his highlight reel. If you look at his highlight reel, he has got, he can take a punch. I have seen this guy take hard punches. And he can throw back. I think his last few fights, he's won by knockout, where like 13 knockouts all he has. But his last few have been by knockout. So he's on the right path to possibly knocking out his opponent.
Well, I ain't going to knock out Josh Taylor. I'm going to tell you that. And, he can take a punch. That's why his head looks like Stewie Griffin's head, apparently. Why don't you break down the keys of victory for Josh Taylor besides just showing up there, James?
He's going to have to do more than just show up, that's for sure. But it is southpaw versus southpaw. You don't see that too often.
They'll step on each other's feet then, is what you're saying.
You're going to do that anyway. If you're orthodox, everybody ain't got no quick feet. But Taylor is the more complete boxer. So if you want to have – if you want a preview of what may happen in this fight – Taylor, a few fights ago, fought Regis Progre. And Regis Progre is also a southpaw. And I would say that Progre is a much better boxer overall than Catterall. And it was a majority decision win for Taylor. And it was, you may not agree with the decision. However, he still won, right? And he was smart enough, good enough to do something against someone with essentially a lot of the same skill set. So I think, again, in Taylor's previous fight against Ramirez, he needed to be a counterpuncher. He just needed to step back, take the shots when Ramirez overshot himself, which he did perfectly, and dropped him. Like that, I mean, that was dropped Ramirez at least once, and that ended up just proving to be the difference maker, is that he had the better game plan and he was able to adjust and execute. So I think this is going to be something similar. He's just going to have the correct game plan going into it. And he's going to be able to adjust if he needs to, but I don't think he's going to. I don't think he's going to have to. That's going to be a one-sided affair, I think.
All right. Well, if you say it's going to be a one-sided affair, let's get to the preview or the predictions here. Josh Taylor coming in at a -2,442, which means you have to wager 2,442 to win 100 on Josh Taylor. And Catterall's coming in at a almost 11-1 underdog. So 10.87, 100 wins you $1,087 over under of 10.5 rounds. What do you guys think? What's predictions? Feel free to start with you.
I'm taking Catterall.
What? Really?
I'm taking Catterall. Josh Taylor, I don't think, is this bona fide superstar everyone thinks he is. He wins a lot of fights on decisions. He is like a southpaw, so it's hard to beat these southpaws, but every one of them decisions he could have lost. He is skirted by for a long time. He is messing up by talking about Terrence Crawford and moving up to 147. I think he is looking past Catterall, who looks really good by highlight reels and whatnot. Catterall looks really good. He looks really hungry. I saw the HBO used to have when Max Kellerman had the two face off. I saw the face off UK between these two. I think Catterall is looking to kill this guy. I'm taking Catterall in this fight by
what
decision?
By decision. Wow, you're even going to say he's going to win a decision.
I think Catterall is going to win this. I think it's going to be a clear. I don't know if he has the power to knock this guy out. Again, he is on the right path when it comes to power. I don't think he's going to knock out Josh Taylor, but Josh Taylor's looking past this guy. He's looking at the 147 division. He's had like this cakewalk, so to speak. He's gotten lucky. I think Catterall is going to win this one. I think this is the guy you don't want to mess with.
Wow. So Filthy Rich going on a limb, taking 11-1 underdog. James, are you willing to step out on that limb with him, or are you going to stay on the boat?
That branch is a little too thin, Rich. sorry, bud, but I'm not going to be able to do that. Well, I can agree with some of the points, and I think that, you know, the Tartan Tornado is definitely has had some controversial wins. I think his last fight against Jose Ramirez was a big prove it fight, or a step in the right direction for me. It definitely showed him, because Ramirez at that time was also, you know, a top dog. The big dog had no losses, and he was a different type of fight. But I think Taylor's going to come out. Catterall might be dangerous to a point, but I just don't see Taylor not emerging victorious. And I am even going to go out on a limb to say that Taylor will beat Catterall by knockout, and I will call it in the ninth round.
Ninth round knockout. All right. I'm looking at El Gato here. That's his Catterall's nickname, El Gato. I don't know. I don't know. I don't see any. He hasn't fought since 2020, and Boxing Rec, for some reason, has his status as inactive. I don't know why that is, but
well, let me just say, I'll say this real quick before you make your decision. All right.
Okay.
And Jose Ramirez was supposed to fight Catterall, and Ramirez decided to fight Victor Postol instead. Mm-hmm. After he beat Postol, Catterall was then the mandatory challenger, and he decided to sidestep to give Josh Taylor the chance to fight Ramirez. So now this is Ramirez or Taylor Catterall. So if that gives you anything, he was the mandatory to fight Ramirez when Ramirez was the boss. Now Taylor is the boss. So I don't know if that changed anything, but figured I'd just, you know, throw it out there.
All right. Well, I have no love lost for Josh Taylor either, but that branch is awfully thin for both of us to stand on, Rich. I don't want it to snap underneath us before the fight even happens. So I'm going to have to side with James on this. So I'm going to take Josh Taylor too. I'm not going to bet this one because obviously I'm not going to lay $3,000 to win 100, but I'm going to take a eighth round knockout. Sounds about good for me. Eighth round knockout for Josh Taylor is what I'm going to take. So I got Josh Taylor, eighth round knockout. James, you said a 10th round. Is that what you said?
That's that ninth round.
Ninth round.
I'm surprised you didn't take Josh Taylor at old number seven round knockout when he's seven on your active pound for pound list, boy.
Yeah, I know, but he's still not going to be. It's going to take eight rounds. Fine, whatever. And then Filthy Rich is going to go on and let him and take Catterall. He likes what he sees in him. So you could be the super genius next week or the goat. Either one. I respect you going on a limb, buddy. I respect it. So, and you got good points as always. So. All right, that's our choices for this the fight this weekend. Make sure you watch it, and let's go ahead and move on with the show. All right, that's our show this week. I'll drink to Matty Bush. As you can see the picture up there, his modeling picture, he's 40 years old and now deciding to become an adult, I guess. I don't know. He still called us at 4 in the morning or midnight or whatever it was on a weekday, but you know it is. Happy birthday, brother. See you next week. Ooh, drinking bad beer reminds me of you. All right. Filthy Rich, why don't you bring us on home?
I want to give a birthday shout out to my friend Aaron, who gets younger every day. It sure looks like big animal lover, huge boxing fan. Aaron, drink to you. Matty Bush, drink to you. And Andre Ward, Golovkin will drink to you. Good night, folks.
Right. Right on that one. I'll also drink to Lou Jenkins, too. Lou Jenkins, we'll drink to you on your question. I wanted to cut down on saying, this week. I said it like four times in this one. It's all the Tecate's fault. James, if they're listening to us, where can they watch us? And if they're watching us, where can they listen to us? All over the world, by the way. All over the world. You hear me? The world.
Yeah, I can hear you. If you are listening to us and you want to watch us, you can go to YouTube.com/brewsandboxing. If you are watching us and want to listen to the podcast, you can type in Brews and Boxing to any major podcast site. We are on a ton of them, so check us out.
Don't forget to ask your Alexa to play Brews and Boxing throughout your house as you clean your house. Do it. It works. It works. It does work. All right. Happy birthday to you. And congratulations to Ryan Garcia becoming the new handsomest man in boxing and earning the new song, and we're gonna have to get a bunch of pictures for you, so go ahead and text Filthy Rich a bunch of your Instagram pictures and we will make sure to put them on the show for all these things. For Filthy Rich, Judge Jimmy James, and Matty Bush, I am Raider Live. Thank you for joining us. We will see you guys next week.